Manx Radio's Update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You are listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx sport, business, travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, the island's chief constable says a new wing could be required at Jerby Prison as part of a police crackdown on drug importation. A number of pharmacies in the island are set to either close or reduce their operating hours in the coming weeks. And Manx Care say waiting times for routine neurodiversity assessments have fallen. That's all coming up in the next half hour. But first of all, the update news headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Faster Mai.
The mountain road is currently closed from the bungalow to Burrill Park in Ramsey due to a road traffic collision. Emergency services are on the scene and we'll bring you the latest as soon as we have it. The chief constable says a new wing may be needed to be built at Jerby Prison as the island continues its crackdown on drug importation. Russ Foster says the prison population has risen beyond capacity following what he describes as a more proactive, intelligence-led approach to tackling serious criminality. It appears the island is a step closer to identity checks at the Manx border as the Department of Home Affairs prepares to launch a consultation into the topic in the coming weeks. And the 2025 Isle of Man Sports Awards will take place at the Villa Marina in Douglas tonight. Tonight's guest of honour, Great Britain cyclist Matthew Richardson, met with some of the island's promising young athletes for a Q&A session last night ahead of the ceremony. Further afield, it's understood a new law that would allow terminally ill patients to die in England and Wales isn't likely to pass in its current form. There's now not enough time before the deadline in May to debate hundreds of amendments to the bill. Meanwhile, similar legislation successfully passed through Parliament in Jersey today. Child killer Ian Huntley is in hospital after being assaulted in prison in County Durham. And Hillary Clinton is due to appear before the US House of Representatives investigating paedophile financier Jeffrey Epstein. They're your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Jeremiah Siobhan. On to the weather. Generally dry this evening and tonight, with the hill fog slowly lifting, the fresh to strong southwest winds gradually decreasing. Minimum temperature 6 Celsius. Mostly dry tomorrow, although largely cloudy. Light winds becoming a moderate to locally fresh northwesterly, with a few brighter intervals developing. Top temperature tomorrow around 9 Celsius. Mainly dry and fairly bright on Saturday. Sunny intervals, then a little rain arriving in the evening. Light and variable winds to start the day, settling southerly before increasing fresh to strong later. Highest temperature around 9 Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
As you heard there in the news headlines, a law to allow terminally ill adults the right to choose to end their own lives has been approved in Jersey. Much like the Isle of Man's assisted dying bill, it marks the final legislative stage for the landmark proposals before they get royal assent in the United Kingdom. But the announcement comes on a day that similar legislation seems to have hit a roadblock in England and Wales. Siobhan Fletcher has been watching today's events unfold and has this report.
Jersey is now the second part of the British Isles where assisted dying has been fully approved. The first, of course, was the Isle of Man. It means that people with terminal illnesses causing unbearable suffering, where they're expected to die within 6 months or 12 months for those with neurodegenerative conditions such as Parkinson's and motor neuron disease, will be able to choose to die. 32 politicians there voted in favour of the law, with 16 voting against it. Both Crown dependencies have set residency requirements for eligibility. It's 12 months for Jersey and 5 years for the Isle of Man. Now, Westminster and Scotland are also debating assisted dying, with the draft law in England and Wales making slow progress in the House of Lords, and the various proposals across the UK and Crown dependencies have generated huge controversy, with passionate arguments both for and against the changes. And at the time of recording, at least, it looks almost certain that the assisted dying bill for England and Wales, which has to get through before the end of the parliamentary session in May, won't become law. It's understood that the government there is not going to set aside more time to debate hundreds of amendments that have been put forward. Lord Falconer supports the legislation and says it's not for the Lords to say that they know better.
This is an issue about an urgently required change in the law that has both popular support and the support of the democratically elected members of the Commons.
So the Bill for England and Wales is certainly in deep trouble. Despite passing all the stages in the Commons, it's going to run out of time. More than 1,200 amendments have been tabled in the Lords, 700 of those by just eight peers. If the bill is not passed before the end of this parliamentary session, it fails. It will then be open to another MP to reintroduce the bill after the next King's speech. But that depends on assisted dying campaigners being able to persuade one of those at the top of the private members' ballot to champion their cause. Also, it's worth noting that as it stands, both Jersey and the Isle of Man are now in a holding pattern, waiting for their respective assisted dying bills to get royal assent and then passed into law.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting. The Chief Constable says a new wing could be required at Jerby Prison as police continue their crackdown on drug importation. Russ Foster says the prison population is beyond capacity, which he attributes to a more proactive, intelligence-led approach to serious crime. He adds that while alternatives to custody should be explored, additional infrastructure would be needed to support them. He appeared earlier today on Manx Radio's Man in Line.
I do question whether we've actually got a public health problem here. And I think that we're only treating the symptoms by continuing to lock up those perpetrators, not only from the Northwest, but certainly further afield. We've had individuals from the East Midlands, the West Midlands, and certainly around the Greater London area as well. We've had notable success, mainly because we've certainly been more intelligence-led, we've been more proactive, and of course I've taken responsibility for the port security. We are more collaborative in terms of our approach together with immigration, customs and excise. We're working together at the ports, and as a consequence, working together, we can stop any vehicle, any vessel, any person, even any aircraft, obviously, if we're at the airport as well. So very much intelligence-led, and I think we've yielded excellent results. Hence why we see the prison population burgeoning beyond capacity.
Well, that's going to be my other point. The job is full. Is that really down to you?
Well, it's down to the productivity of the collective law enforcement family. We link in with the National Crime Agency back across in the UK. We link in with the Northwest Regional Organised Crime Unit, and we have shared assets. And collectively, together with more locally, customs and excise, immigration, we have had a real robust approach in terms of tackling that illicit drug-related criminality.
Does Jerby need to be bigger then if you're doing all this?
I think we need to look at alternatives in terms of disposal, so alternatives to incarceration. But there does need to be an infrastructure to support those alternatives for custody, or alternatives to custody, I should say. But quite frankly, we will continue in earnest to attack that level of criminality. And I think we do need to build another wing up in Jerby, or have alternative accommodation for perhaps the lower risk offenders. Okay. And I know this is something that the DHA are exploring.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
There are going to be some changes made at a number of Clear pharmacy branches around the island. The companies announced it will be closing one and reducing the operating hours at others due to operational reasons. Lewis Foster joins me now. So which branches are we talking about?
So changes are being made at three, but it's the branch within the Tesco store on Victoria Road in Douglas that's set to close from Thursday the 2nd of April. It's Manx Care that confirmed this move, with Clear Pharmacy saying it's based on business considerations.
And of the changes elsewhere?
So Clear Pharmacy branches at St Paul's Square in Ramsey and Church Road in Port Erin will cease trading on Saturdays. That's Saturdays alone, with effect from Saturday the 14th of March. Both branches, though, will continue to operate their normal Monday to Friday opening hours.
Now, those who rely on those branches, Lewis, what can they do?
Well, like I say, it's Manx Care which has announced this today, and the health body has told us its priority is to ensure patients continue to have access to pharmacy services. Adding Clear Pharmacy operates a number of other branches in Douglas and Onchan, and patients will be supported to transfer their prescriptions and ongoing care as smoothly as possible. And it says anyone who has questions or requires assistance, they're being asked to speak directly with the Clear Pharmacy team, who will be able to provide advice and support during the transition period.
Thank you, Lewis. And staying with Manx Care, the health body says wait times for routine neurodiversity assessments have fallen to around 1 year following a £4 million cash injection into children's mental health services. Christian now joins us in the studio. He's been looking over what the health body has been saying. What can you tell us, Christian?
Yeah, so this has been a 2-year programme aimed at tackling long waits and improving access to support. Now, at the start of the project, 819 young people were on the CAMHS waiting list, some facing delays of up to 2.5 years for assessment. Manx Care says all of those have been contacted as part of a waiting list review. Of those, 64% received assessments. Others were referred elsewhere or signposted to alternative support. And overall, Manx Care says 86% of those originally identified are now either discharged or actively receiving treatment.
Okay. Right. So, but from what I understand, a key part of this has been a new service as well, hasn't it?
Yeah. So it's a single point of access. It's called Talk. It was launched last year and delivered in partnership with the mental health charity I'll Listen. And it's designed for young people with mild to moderate mental health needs and aims to effectively streamline referrals. Since June last year, it's received more than 900 referrals with an average of 6 days from referral to assessment.
OK, thank you, Christian.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, the main news this evening on travel around the island is that the mountain road is currently closed, and that is due to a road traffic accident. So the road is closed at the moment, and it could be a while before it reopens. So that's the situation on the mountain. At sea, everything looks to be on time. The maximum is around 20 minutes away from Douglas. Down at the airport, obviously we had some issues yesterday with the fog. The Liverpool flight, which was due to go, the Loganair service, to go from Ronaldsway at 6 o'clock, is now leaving at 25 to 7. The EasyJet Gatwick at 20 past 7 is now delayed by 15 minutes. In terms of the arrivals, the Loganair, which was due in at 5:30 from Manchester, is showing as arriving at 6 o'clock. However, Gatwick is showing on time at 10 to 7. Liverpool is showing, that's is showing on time at 5 to 8 as well.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
Staying on a travel theme, the Isle of Man could be edging closer to introducing ID checks at its borders, with a public consultation set to launch shortly. Home Affairs Minister Jane Poole Wilson's confirmed residents will be invited to give their views on proposals relating to checks at ports. Speaking to Tim Wald's Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, she says discussions are ongoing about how any system might operate. She's also provided an update on the potential use of facial recognition technology.
The Steam Packet have been very engaged with the department. We understand how we implement this is important to the Steam Packet, particularly at peak travel times, for example, around the TT and so on. You know, they have their operational needs to manage and think about, so we are working very closely with them, but they're very productive discussions, and as I say, we want to put out a consultation with some proposals around how we make the change so that people carry ID.
Do you expect to deliver the Regulation of Surveillance Amendment Bill to enable the introduction of facial recognition before the end of this administration, or is that something that's going to carry over?
It's going to carry over. The reason for that is it needs to be consulted upon. It's too important a subject not to go through a proper consultation. So with the best will in the world, I have learnt, despite my high ambition and dreams to move everything through in a positive way, 6 weeks consultation and processing the output of that and then determining how you make any changes that you may need to make before you actually present a bill to the branches. Unfortunately, we don't have time. However, we are going to continue with this because it is important. So that's something I would say about all of our legislation, where we do not manage to get a bill now into the branches that will have a chance of coming through before the dissolution of the keys. It doesn't mean it's not important. I am very keen that we still get the drafting work done and we get these bills out for consultation, if need be, over the summer, so that a new administration has the opportunity to pick up some legislation that has got to the best point we can and hopefully move it forward.
You're tuned to Manx Radio. This is Update. And the ongoing popularity of the island's heritage railways is reflected in the latest figures from the Department of Infrastructure. Simon Richardson has been looking at the stats.
All four lines, including the Manx Electric Railway, the Steam Railway, the Snaefell Mountain Railway and the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway, saw increased use between 2023 and 2025. Of particular note was year-on-year growth of 4.5% between 2024 and 2025. The Manx Electric Railway recorded a 17.6% increase from 2023 to 25. Year-on-year figures also showed positive momentum, with a 3.67% rise between 2024 and 25. The steam railway also saw steady growth, reflecting its popularity among both residents and visitors alike, registering a significant uptick of 3.8% between 23 and 25. The Snaefell Mountain Railway saw passenger figures grow 5% over the past year and 12.04% from 2023 to 2025. Meanwhile, the case for restoring the horse trams to the full length of the promenade will have been boosted by a 19.66% rise in passenger numbers between 2023 and 25. Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall has welcomed the figures, which he claims demonstrate the appeal of the railways. He also paid tribute to the hard work of the dedicated railways team. In July this year, the Manx Heritage Transport Festival will celebrate 150 years of the operation of the horse trams in Douglas and 50 years since the nationalisation of bus services.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
An American technology entrepreneur believes the Isle of Man could be an ideal location for what's known as a charter city. Malcolm Collins has proposed creating a designated zone in the island that would operate outside existing Manx law, overseen by an appointed so-called executor with wide-ranging powers. He argues the model could attract global talent and high-growth industries, including sectors constrained by regulation elsewhere. One man who has seen the document regarding this is Michael Taylor, the Northwest Area Editor of BusinessDesk.com, who recently interviewed him.
Malcolm Collins has made this publicly available. I didn't kind of unearth it from a brown envelope being pushed under my door. He's quite open about it. It's a proposal that there are versions of it that mention the Isle of Man. There are versions of it that are geographically agnostic, that could apply anywhere. And it's this vision of governance, which is just truly bizarre, that it basically an experimental city-state would be built around looser regulation for sectors such as pharmaceuticals. And one of the reasons he likes the Isle of Man is because it's close to the EU, but not in the EU.
He claims he's actually been in touch with people in the Isle of Man, but he's keeping their identity secret.
Yeah, that was really intriguing part of our conversation. I pushed him on it three or four times, saying, come on, Malcolm, who have you spoken to this? How far did he go with this? Who did he speak to? Because I know that the island has a strategy to repopulate, to bring the population up to 100,000, that it is taking the fact that there are more people inactive, not in work, than are working, and it wants to attract, you know, tech businesses to come to the Isle of Man that are attracted by its different regulatory and taxation regime. So but that's then the really tricky bit, because I put these questions to people in the Isle of Man government, and although they acknowledge that I'd asked the questions, nobody has got back to me either to confirm or deny that they ever took it seriously. I would have thought it'd have been quite easy for someone to say, no, this is pie in the sky and it's never going to happen. But they didn't. They wouldn't give me the benefit or the dignity of a reply to that very obvious question.
Did you contact a specific department?
Yes, I did. I contacted the comms department of the Isle of Man government and the Department of External Affairs. Key named people whose job it is to protect and advance the reputation of the island. I would have thought it'd have been a fairly easy thing to either to poo-poo this idea. It rather suggests to me that there's no smoke without fire if they're not prepared to deny it outright.
You're listening to Update on Manx Radio. Healthcare, education and what some have described as an absolutely diabolical situation with the roads are among the key concerns for voters in Ayr and Michael ahead of this year's general election. In September, residents across the island will head to the polls to choose who they want to represent them in the next administration. Anyone wishing to stand as a candidate has until August the 26th to submit their nomination papers. Each week, Manx Radio is hearing from different constituencies about the issues that matter most. This week, our reporter Chanel Sakou has been in Ayr and Michael.
As an ex-head teacher, I feel very strongly that something needs to be done about special needs, special educational needs on the island. I say that from a personal point of view as well as an educational point of view, because one of my grandchildren has special needs. And whilst the school that she goes to does help her a great deal, the school was chosen particularly because of special needs. It's not a school that she should have gone to in the area.
Too much money getting spent on different things, you know. I mean, I pay road tax on my car and everything, and we have to pay to have the hedges trimmed. So I get done on the tax, you know, on me rates. So I get charged on me rates, and then I get charged on me car licence and everything, and it shouldn't be, you know. And it was Phil Gorn that started that off, you know, when he was in there, you know.
There's just not enough basic housing, maybe, or people are greedy, the prices are too high, and not letting conglomerates well buying the whole lot, the estates, and then sell it. I don't believe in all that. Medically, we can't cope with any more people. I mean, the dentist is absolutely dire. Hospitals, everything like that, and doctors, and, you know, you just can't get appointments. Even the reservoirs, I don't think, can cope with any more houses being built.
And in terms of the roads?
They're absolutely diabolical. They need to do something, especially around our area. There's a lot more traffic at the moment going up towards the prison because they can't get down the Clenock Road at Sulby. They definitely need to do something about them, especially cyclists, and cars are getting tyres wrecked all over, and they're not cheap.
Sport is on the way, but first of all, Ramsey commissioners say they're pleased the Department of Infrastructure has withdrawn its flood defence proposals for the town's quayside. The board adds future plans must retain as much parking as possible to support local businesses and carefully assess the impact of any new barrier designs. Vice Chair of the local authority, Sandra Cottam-Shea, told local democracy reporter Emma Draper any revised scheme must work for all stakeholders in the town.
Mr Crookall was very understanding and reassuring at our last meeting, and they're actually listening to what the people of Ramsey want.
How do you think the people of Ramsey did react to it? Because obviously you said it got a lot of objections. I imagine that people got in contact with the commissioners.
Yes, there was a lot of contact, and people contacted through the planning committee and the DOI. It's not that we are unaware that we need some sort of flood defences, but it's working with everybody, retailers, hospitality outlets. It's a large wall and a loss of parking spaces. So it's meeting in the middle, finding a reasonable solution.
You and the board had a vote there about what your main sort of principles are for if an application comes around again. Would you just be able to explain what they were and what you agreed to?
The concerns are the wall and the lack of parking spaces. And there's also fundamental technical issues. You know, you stop water coming over somewhere, it's going to go somewhere else. So we have to create a subcommittee that will work with the DOI, attend the meetings and report back to the board so that we're all agreed and truly representing the inherent wishes of the locals. We have a great town. We want to keep it safe. I'm not denying that, but I also want to keep it beautiful.
Do you and the board have a sort of vision of what you would like to see, or is that completely out of the remit of the local authority?
There are set ideas, and that's reducing the height of the wall and creating... It's a working harbour, but now the working practices have changed, so everything has to accommodate the fishing vessels and the access to those. A lot of them are done with hiabs now, so it's not the same labour intensive, but they need to have access to their boats. It is a working harbour, and we also need to look after the hospitality side, the pubs on that area, to look after their clientele. So it's just, let's meet in the middle, let's make it work for all stakeholders.
It's now time for sport, and Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed. And joining me live in the studio is Rob Pritchard. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I. First this evening, the latest annual celebration of Manx sports will take place tonight with the 2025 Isle of Man Sports Awards. A total of 14 accolades will be presented at the ceremony at the Villa Marina in Douglas this evening. The yearly event aims to celebrate all the successes and achievements of people and organisations involved in sport across the island. Looking at some of the awards up for grabs, there are seven in contention for the Sportsman of the Year crown. They are Bevan Rodd, Billy Harris, Corin Leeming, David Malarkey, Matthew Bostock, Sam Rennie and William Draper. Meanwhile, six athletes are in the running for the Sportswoman of the Year title, and those nominees are Anna Dawson, Krista Kane, Caitlin Adshead, Laura Kinley, Nikki Arthur and Sarah Astin. Among the other awards to be decided tonight include the Sports Team of the Year, Veteran Sports Person of the Year, Disability Sports Person of the Year and Sports Coach of the Year accolades and more besides. Tonight's ceremony is due to get underway at 7:30 p.m. Elsewhere, Isle of Man professional boxer Jade Burden will take on her first ever title fight in less than 2 months' time. The Manx competitors confirm she'll face Katie Smith for the Commonwealth Silver Super Featherweight title on Saturday the 11th of April at Portsmouth Guild Hall. Ahead of what will also be her first contest of 2026, Burden enters this year with a perfect professional record so far of 4 wins from 4, including 1 knockout. Her most recent fight was a points win over former English and Commonwealth title contender Lindsay Pashinsky in Blackpool in November last year. Meanwhile, Smith, who's the reigning Commonwealth Silver Super Featherweight champion, will go into April's showdown with a pro tally of 4 wins and 1 defeat, including 1 knockout victory. And finally, Isle of Man hockey star Sienna Dunn will be part of the England Under-21 squad again in 2026. The former Valkyries player is one of 22 players to be part of the setup for this calendar year. Furthermore, Dunn is also included for 2026 in the 20-strong women's team of the Great Britain Elite Development Programme. Well, since 2021, the Island competitor has gone on not only to represent but also captain in the England Under-16s, Under-18s and Under-21s female squads. During 2025, she captained the England Under-21s at the Junior Women's World Cup in Chile, where the team went on to finish 8th in the competition.
Thank you, Rob Pritchard, with the Update Sport brought to you by The Print Shed. And that's it for Update for today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you want to listen to again, you can download the podcast with lots of many other Manx Radio podcasts that are available at manxradio.com. Coming up after this programme, it's an archive room replay with Island Life. Same greatest hits at 6 o'clock. 9 o'clock tonight, we have a little light music with Maurice Powell. And you can end a good night's entertainment on Manx Radio with Rhiann Evans with After Hours at 10 o'clock. That's it from me for this week. Thank you so much for your company. As I said, next is Island Life.
Separation should not mean losing time with your children. Most children benefit from a strong relationship with both parents. At Man Benham, we specialise in helping you reach sensible contact and residence arrangements, focusing on your child's best interests. We support communication and cooperation.
Whether through negotiation or court application, our aim is to achieve a stable and workable routine. Professional advice is key to securing your family time. For expert advice on child arrangements, contact Man Benham Advocates. Call us now on 639 350.
Geoffrey, how do you like this composite door from Spectrum Windows?
Oh, good choice, missus. Stylish and hard-wearing. It'll transform the house.
Trouble is choosing the colour. There's so much choice.
How about red? It goes with your eyes.
Anyone would see red living with you, Geoffrey.
For a huge range of solid composite doors in a great range of colours, including red, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Top of the Tops, brought to you by The Print Shed. At 5 is hospitality, a wide range of aprons, kitchen uniforms and front of house clothing unique to your business. New entry at number 4 is our eco-sustainable and organic ranges. At number 3 is workwear. Be safe, be seen and get your brand recognised. Sticking at number 2, sportswear, names, numbers, sponsors, logos. We do it all. You pick the colours and we'll do the rest. And at number 1 is corporate wear, embroidered or printed, professional and stylish. Find us at theprintshedIOM.com, on Facebook or at Braddon Bridge Industrial Park. Renewable
energy.
Manx Solar Electrical offer Wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage, and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the best.
Manx Radio.
Faster Mai. Judith Lay here, once again opening the door to the archive room, Manx Radio's treasure chest of stories of island life from years gone by, told by the people who were there. So come on in and let me take you.